It's nothing to play with. You look at a sinner, man, a sinner is just jolly down the street, man, fornicating, having adultery, smoking dope. He's just a sinner without a care in the world. So, I mean, at least when he, at a minimum, when this guy or female goes to hell, they want to say, I did it up. But you, on the other hand, calling yourself a servant of God and not being about his business, Jesus Christ takes that serious. Serious. See, you know, if it's just, it's no different from if you were to play for a certain coach or if you were to join the Lakers. Forgive me, I'm a little biased. But, you know, if you, you know, Kobe Bryant has a reputation for being serious, man. The Mamba. So, you know, when you join the Lakers, Kobe Bryant is serious. That man is, man, obsessed with the sport. Why would you join the Lakers knowing that this guy is a fanatic about the sport, obsessed about the sport, going to be on you like white on rice about being in the right spot, being in the right place, learning the plays? That's him. That's that man. Same thing with Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you, buddy, the man told his mama, mama, you know me, mama, what? I'm about my daddy's business, mama. This is serious. And you come over here playing around, like I said, you might be better off like a, just an average sinner going to hell. Blowing me off like a, just some Bible nut. Because the penalties of this, and I'm going to read, I'm going to go ahead and read this, but this is serious. My strong advice is to get about it and be about it, saints. Because that's the evaluation. Forget the Bema. Let's just look at the evaluation of when he talks about when the master returns and finds you goofing around at a nightclub. Or find you, God forbid, in the world, fornicating, whatever. God forbid the condition he find you after he probably told you what he wants you to do. So, let's just go to Matthew 25. I know I didn't discuss it a lot. You know, talked about Jesus Christ and his servants and his business that you enlisted, right? You enlisted in his business, right? Nobody forced you to enlist in the Lord's business. You enlisted in his business. So I might as well just start off from the beginning of the parable. Jesus says, Matthew 25, follow me, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Pause. His servants, you, Christian, watching this broadcast, okay, gave you ability and expects your ability to be fruitful, performed, expect you to do something. I'll continue. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The Lord of the servants. So, you know, we're his servants. He's coming. He's coming to see what we've done. What have we done with it? What work have we done? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done. That's what you want to hear, right? Well done. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord, Jesus' Lord, said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter. So to the person who was faithful over the things Jesus Christ gave him, his response is, enter. Enter. He's coming to check on you. This is serious business. For real. I hope this message penetrates. I hope it gets to everybody. This is serious business, my friend. Serious. Serious. Then he which had received the other talent came and said, Lord. Now this is the little shifty, little shysty guy, right? Hopefully this is not you. This is a little shifty, shysty, shyster, clever little guy. He knows his doctrine. He's going to, you know, you might have folks up there quoting doctrine to God. Hey, once saved, always saved, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you know, have you heard the Westminster Creed, Jesus? Whatever. See, it's going to be a lot of tap dancing up there. I'm letting you know, when Jesus returns, it's going to be a lot of tap dancing. Mind you, this is not the Bema seat. This is not the Bema Paul's talking about. Where Paul talks about those who strive lawfully. Okay? But I'll get in that a little later. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid. Key word right there, huh? Afraid. I was afraid. God, you gave me a talent. God, you gave me a gift to evangelize. God, you gave me the ability to be an administrator. God, you gave me the gift to preach. God, you gave me the gift of helps. I'm not getting into the big old, you know, all this other stuff and teaching and all that. I mean, you got so many minute, forgive me for saying minute, but you got so many other gifts that God gives. Helps, administrations, deacons, servants. You could just be a wife. God could have called you to be a wife to somebody. And that was your talent. So, here's this individual with his talent, okay? He tells to the Lord, he says, I was afraid. Yeah, 25. And I was afraid and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Okay, so I'll just kind of elaborate. God gave him a talent, took his talent, hid his talent. You, is that you? Have you receive gifts of God, the gift of God, and hid it? God's coming for you. He's coming for you. Look at the Lord's response. Like I said, the Lord's going to deal severely. He's dealing severely with us and those who are not accomplishing his will or about the Father's business. His Lord answered and said it to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him. Once saved, always saved now. Once saved, always saved, right? Take therefore the talent from him, the Christian, take it from him, okay, and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And the one say, I'm sorry, and the servant, right? And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus does not say that this person was never saved. Like when you get into arguments with those who believe in the once saved, always saved, as you try to reason with these folks. No, we're not talking about somebody, oh, they were never saved. They were never saved, brother. No, this person's saved. And the reason why Jesus Christ is so harsh, you see, it's not enough to just read the scripture. You have to have the mind of Christ. Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. You must understand the passion, the commitment, and the level to where Jesus Christ takes his Father's business. He takes this very seriously, my friend. He comes back for his servants. He's coming back to deal with these people. Man, he had high expectations for these servants. Do you understand? Comprende? This is who you're looking dead at. Somebody that's going to be asking you, what did you do? What did you do with the talent, with the gift, with my gospel, with my, what did you do? Fired up looking at you. And you just sitting there, goop, just as dumb as you could be. Did nothing. Did nothing, helped nothing, contributed nothing, built nothing, sponsored nothing, nothing. Didn't even fulfill the talent he gave you. This is terrifying, friend. So, you know, the point God gave me and the goal of this whole message is to really get you to understand what the Lord is expecting and who we're dealing with. Really, who we're dealing with. Somebody who is a billion times more passionate about his business than anybody. I mean, forgive me for even using a Kobe or a coach. I mean, you know, one of your favorite coaches, you know, Belichick. You know, Belichick is a, you know, our Cowan for the Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. That's a serious man. That man got a fired up look on that man's face. You look at the coach for the Steelers, man's serious. And he expects 110 out of his players. He 110% from every person on that Pittsburgh Steelers. Jesus Christ, amplify that, friend. Because this is how he's doing his servants. This is what he's doing to his servants. You did nothing. You hid my talent. I was afraid. You was afraid. Oh, when they start talking about sodomites' rights and the gay rights, and I was just so afraid. I didn't want to offend nobody when the gays and the rights and my uncle and my, you know, I was afraid. The Bible says when it talks about in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ talks about those who shall be cast into the lake of fire. One of the first people he thrown into that lake are the fearful. The fearful. And who else would qualify when Jesus Christ talks about the fearful being thrown in the lake of fire? He's not talking about the worldly folks, the sinners. The sinners ain't afraid. Sinners is bold. When Jesus says the people being cast in the lake of fire and the fearful, the unbelieving and all that, the fearful is Christians. The fearful is this guy right here. I hope it ain't you, beloved. But this guy right here, I was afraid. What did you, God said, what'd you do with my talent, man? I was afraid. I hid it. I threw it in the backyard. Nobody knew I was saved. I never said nothing about Jesus Christ. I stood up for nothing. I defended nothing against unrighteousness. Man, I was quiet as a mouse. Threw this guy, friend, in the lake of fire. Jesus said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Friends, Jesus Christ expects a profit out of you, a gain out of you. He expects a return from you. All right? This is for real. This is for real. Okay? This is for real. All right? And like I mentioned about the Bema seat. All right? I mentioned the Bema seat. So, let's go to the Bema seat, Saint, because obviously, you know, someone's going to contend with Brother Baines and say, hey, brother, you're preaching works, brother. I'm not preaching works, friend. I'm preaching being about the Father's business. Because that's going to be what's going to be the final decision of you hearing, like these other individuals. Well done, my faithful servant. Enter. These people who were about the Father's business, who multiplied their talents, it wasn't about no works. It's just that God gave them something. Obviously, got to be whatever He gave them, the Holy Ghost was in it. Because the Bible God gave us the Spirit. He gave us the Spirit. So the Spirit, the talent, the ability, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, the gift, whatever you may call it. They took it, ran with it, my friend. And that's what the Bema seat is about. The Bema seat that Paul talks about is for people who strive lawful. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know you like, just read it, brother. Okay, I'll read it, saints. As you can see, I get excited and I can kind of ramble. But I'm standing in Tom's stead, so I'm going to make sure I do a good job, saints. Pray for me. Pray for me. You better be praying for me while I'm doing all this. 2 Timothy. Man, that ain't Timothy, Brother Baines. Pray for me. Pray I find 2 Timothy. Pray for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And I mean, clear your mind of what you thought the Bema seat was. And just allow the text to tell you what the Bema seat is really about. So, verse 5. The whole chapter is good. One day I'm just going to do chapter saints. I'll start from the beginning. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. That's a word right there, saints. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, right? We're warring. We're not ducking and hiding and like Gideon. We're not like Gideon stealing water. We're warring. Warring. Okay? No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? So Paul is asking a question. So this is the whole striving in the Bema. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? Now let me pause. Paul is saying that the requirement for striving for masteries are the requirement. He's using an Olympic analogy. Masteries, that's kind of like another word for the Olympic. And Paul lived in the Greek era, the Roman Greek era. So he's using Greek analogies for a audience that would understand that. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? Meaning, you don't get a crown unless you strive lawfully. So there are requirements, there are regulations. There are regulations, just like there's regulations in any sporting event. He's using the Olympic analogy. If you watch the Olympics, you see how they have, you know, regulations. You gotta stand maybe 10 meters and throw the discus. You can't just walk up and just throw the discus, you know, 2 feet away. Lawfully, everything has to be lawful. Jude talks about the unlawful. Jude mentions unlawful maybe 5 or 6 times. Those unlawful sinners. Jude talks about the wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven upon all those who you know, deal ungodly and practice lawlessness, and you see where, again, there is stipulations for this, okay? The stipulations is that we strive lawfully. The husbandman, well, that's kind of like where he deals with that whole analogy, all right? So he also mentions about the rewards. Not in this particular verse, but he does get into the rewards. But Timothy kind of introduced that thought that God gave him, how God showed Paul that we are, in essence, striving. We are, in essence, and it's not that we're striving for our salvation, but we are indeed been given, you know, tasks, we've been given assignments, and this is what God wants out of us. Like I said, God is returning to his servants with an expectation, with a demand. As he also says, you know, we're striving for masteries, to be crowned, to receive that ultimate crown. We should want to be rewarded. I've heard people try to dismiss and disregard rewards. I've heard people be as arrogant and as cocky to say, oh man, you're just trying to do all that. You're trying to be all good and you're trying to live holy. You're trying to live righteous. He's just doing that because he wants rewards. Man, he just wants rewards. I'm saved regardless. Man, I can't lose this thing. Man, you just want rewards, man. I'm going to live how I mean. I can't lose it. I didn't get it. I can't lose it. When you see all these folks, when you see these lazy servants thrown out because they did not, they were unprofitable. Come on, my friend. Come on. And it's not to say, it's not to disregard that where the Bible tells us that we have been saved by faith. Okay, the our faith in Jesus Christ. All right, which that word can also be interpreted as fidelity, our faithfulness. Okay, but if we just use the word faith, we have been saved by faith. That's not of our own. Okay, yes, indeed, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us into salvation. Okay, brought us into salvation. But you see, and I want you to go over to James, my friend. Let's take a look at James. With James, we all know this famous scripture in James, where James deal with, you know, faith and works, and show me your faith, and hey, I'll show you my faith by my works. Like, you know, ultimately, James is not impressed by people talking about, I got faith, brother, my faith. I'm saved by my faith, and you know, you guys over there asking for power, and you're trying to live holy, and you guys over there talking about Jesus, and you're preaching, and you guys talking about saving and evangelism. You guys are just works. Your salvation has nothing to do on works. You know what you sound like? If that's you, you sound just like that lazy, slothful, unprofitable servant who was thrown in the outer darkness. If that's you, my friend, snap out of that. Please. Please. Like I said, you won't even make it to the Bema. You won't make it to the Bema because you're not striving, my friend. You already concluded in your mind that everybody who preaches sanctification, everybody who preaches loving to stand away from the world, everybody who preaches fasting, everybody who preaches evangelism, everybody who preaches the gifts and being in the works of God, you've concluded that everybody like myself is a works teacher and I don't have to do nothing. I'm going to kick back and just wait for the master to come. I think it's one parable when Jesus talks about when the master returned and he finds this guy asleep. Man, it's just like a security guard, almost like a security guard on a night shift. This guy, zigging with his feet up. Jesus, hey, what's up, servant? Hey, son. And you like a security guard with your feet up, zigging. Talking about, you know, Jesus, I knew I was saved, but, you know, those guys were talking all that work stuff, and I knew I couldn't lose it. I knew I couldn't lose it. Friend, you are a lazy, unprofitable servant. That's all you are. And if that's you, get snap out of it. Get with the business, my friend. Get with it. Get with it. I'm gonna encourage you now. I'm not here to beat you down. But, you know, if that's you, of course, I'm here to encourage you. Friend, if you've been falling to a doctrine trying to tell you you don't have to do anything and you can't lose it, and I've heard people say you can sin every day. I've heard people say outrageous things as far as salvation about this thing can never go away and you can't lose it. Friends, that's just... Those teachings and those doctrines are from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ expects you to be about his business, which is the theme of this message, and you need to be about it. First of all, get full of the Holy Ghost. I'll say once again. But famous world-class James chapter 2. Let's take a good look at it. Dealing with faith and works. So I don't want anybody accusing me of being a works preacher. I'm about my Father's business. Are you? It says right here. Now, of course, there's a whole thought stream. So just to kind of jump in on one verse is kind of... But he says right here. He says, verse 14, pick it up, excuse me. What do it profit, my brethren, though a man say, I have faith? So, James, chapter 2, verse 14. What do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? So, I mean, it's almost like James is in the mind of Christ. In the mind of Jesus Christ. This is the same mind. This is no new mind. Paul had the mind of Christ. Peter had the mind of Christ, John had the mind of Christ, and Christ had the mind of Christ, because Christ is Christ. But James is almost speaking from the same vein of Matthew 25 and the unprofitable servant. He says, who got cast into the lake for being unprofitable? He says, what do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What does it profit? Profit, right? Unprofitable. Jesus talked about unprofitable servants. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So the faith that was initially activated in you died. Paul talks about quenching the Holy Spirit. He says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So he's not disregarding this individual's faith. James is not saying that the person does not have faith. He's saying their faith is dead. Okay? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So being alone is dead. It's dead. It's unprofitable. It's nothing. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He said it about four times, okay? He's trying to drive home a point here, friend. Is dead without work. Dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See if thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith made him perfect. And the scripture was faithful. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So it accompanies, all right, the same spirit. And again, do not misunderstand me by saying that, okay, please don't interpret this as saying, well, if I just pick this book up and do all the works, I'm in and God will accept me. No, the works that we can do can be works of our own. It can be works can be done for our own to make ourselves look good. Like when you see maybe Oprah Winfrey give $100,000 to a orphanage in South Africa, all right? Or Steve Jobs donates $1 billion to the poor in India. That's not a work of God. That's not a work of God. That's just a work of a man who has 20 billion. And hey man, if I donate 1 billion, it's a tax write-off and it makes me look good. Same thing with Oprah Winfrey. If Oprah Winfrey gives money to an orphanage in South Africa, it makes Oprah look good. So that's not the works we're talking about. We're talking about a Christian attempting to say, some Christian talking to James, telling James, hey James, I'm saved by faith. Obviously this must have been some kind of encounter that the apostle James had with some individual telling James, hey James, wait a minute, back off, James, faith, saved. And James is looking at this individual like, you have no works, you have no love, you have no compassion, you're not diligent, you don't support the ministry, your faith is essentially dead. So the same spirit that enlivened, that gave us the faith, the same spirit that God put in our heart is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. So that is needed. We must have the Holy Spirit, saints. We got to have the Holy Ghost to perform any of these acceptable works. But as you see, Jesus Christ gives his servants the gift. He gives his servants gifts of the Spirit. And he gives his Spirit unto his servants. So, you know, we've been endowed, we've been imparted, we have what it takes, saints. It's just a matter of activating what we have. We have the gifts of the Spirit, we have the Holy Ghost. We need to be about the Father's business. We got this Bible in my hand right here. Big old book in my hand for inspiration. Let's be about the Father's business, saints. Let's be about it. That same cold-blooded attitude that Jesus Christ had about his daddy business. Man, that thing got to be in you. Ezekiel talks about that. Ezekiel talks about how God, when God is speaking to Ezekiel. And you got a lot of times when we read the Bible, we have to feel the anguish of God. We have to just try to get into the anguish of God. Try to get into the emotion of God. Try to survey the scriptures the way God is communicating this. So much is coming out of God with verses and scriptures. So it's not just, well, you know, out of the same mouth, very same. You don't read the Bible like you read a newspaper. You try to get the heart of God, the very heart. God says in Ezekiel, I will put my spirit in them and I will cause them to walk in my precepts. So that's the work that when he puts his spirit in you, he says, I'm going to cause you to do what I want you to do. Why? Because for so long, God had a people that did not walk in the spirits, did not fulfill his task. They were not being diligent stewards over what God had commissioned them to do. So this was the key frustration. So God says, you know what? I'm going to solve all this. I'm just going to put my spirit in them. So the spirit alone does the work, saints. The spirit alone does the work. I want to pull that up real quick. Try to pull that the scripture up. But it's the spirit, saints. It's the spirit that does the work. And our main goal, like I mentioned earlier, our main goal is not to quench it, not to quench the spirit. The spirit can't work, our faith will ultimately be dead. And did I find the Saints? I gotta close out in a couple of minutes. But I just really want to read this. So I found it. Ezekiel 36:22-32. All right. So, and I really need to read this to you, because the main thing I want everybody to walk away from this is that this is not some carnal endeavor that you're going to do on your own. All right. To be about the Father's business, you're going to have the very Spirit of the Father operating and working in you. All right. So, Ezekiel 36, follow with me. Ezekiel 36, verse 21. And like I said, feel the emotion. Ezekiel 36, verse 21. It's a lot of context. I'm just getting to the point because I'm short for time. But I had pity for mine holy name. Can you feel that? Can you feel the emotion in the Lord? Are you sitting? You know, the Bible talks about the mind of Christ, but the Greek word is splotna. We have the splotna. Splotna is the sensitive mind, the emotional mind. So the Greek is, we have the splotna, the emotional mind of Christ. So tap into God's emotion. 21, Ezekiel 36. But I had pity for mine holy name. God has pity on his holy name. Man, my name, I got pity on my name because my people are trampling my name, treating my name like trash, worshiping idols, disrespecting me, covenanting with the devil, off worshiping idols. He says, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen. I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out from all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I'm cleaning you. Man, I'm sanctifying my name. You dirtied my name up. Just like Christians are profaning his name, like we profane his name right now, you know, falling into utter sin and the chaos, letting the world in the church, letting gay marriage in the church. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, which I will cleanse you. 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Who's doing the work? Who's working? Who's doing anything? God is. God said, I will cause you. So I'm doing the work, man. I'm cleaning you. I'm saying, but I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Do them. Do it. So all the doing and the dunning and the works, back to James, is his spirit working in us. So that we can let the spirit breathe and accomplish his goal. Jesus Christ talks about in Titus, I can't go there, but Titus chapter 2 verse 14. He talks about, Bible says, and he gave himself so that he may have a people zealous for good works. You know, zealous. He gave himself, Titus chapter 2, he gave himself so that he may have a people zealous for good works. All right? What is that, Titus? So you see what the man's looking for. You know what the man works. Jesus also talks about, you know, he's going to sing his praise. He's going to sing his praises to his Lord. Amongst his, amongst the congregation. All right. So, like I said, I gotta end it right there. But I want to pray with you, Saints. I want to pray that we get a spirit to be about the Father's business. I want to pray that we start lifting this Dunamis Tabernacle up. I want to pray that you lift up whatever organization that's preaching the truth and is preaching right. There's a lot of organizations preaching truth and preaching righteousness, all right? There's a lot. So I don't want to just emphasize what we do here on Mega Street, so Mega Ministry. So wherever you're at, if it's truth, it's righteousness, it's holiness, if it's conforming you to the image of God, if it's about letting Christ be formed in you, if that's the emphasis, not religion, if you're in some place, if you're with an organization and Christ is being formed in you and that's the goal, ain't nothing else, then I want to lift you up. But I definitely want to end this off in prayer. Saints, this is serious business. You have entered covenant with somebody who is more serious than you can ever imagine and who wants to work through you. Jesus Christ needs a body. He needs bodies. He needs people. As you, he's looking for you too, sinner. If you're just a sinner that stumbled across this, he could use you. But you better come in this and be serious and be about his business. All right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this broadcast, Lord. Lord, I trust, Lord, and believe, Lord, that all these words that I've said, Lord, have been edifying, have been your words, God. I've spoken your mind, God. I've asked, Lord, that any elements or vestiges of Jamar be totally removed, Lord, that only the truths and eternal truths of you, God. Jesus Christ, Lord, you came, Lord, so that you may accomplish the will of your Father, so that you may reestablish the business of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the business of your Father. And God, all you ask is that we be vessels that you can work through, and that we shall be co-laborers with you. Jesus Christ, Paul talks about that we are co-laborers with you, Jesus Christ. So we are co-laborers with you. Hallelujah. We are co-laborers with you. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be worthy. God, we want to have your spirit flow through us so that our works, so that good men, that men shall see our the works and they shall glorify our Father in heaven. God, we ask all these things, God. Give us a mind. Give us a spirit. Give us the drive. God, if anyone has fallen away and backslidden, God, bring them back unto you, God. God, we ask that, Lord, if anyone's not saved, that they hear this broadcast, that they come to you for salvation. And God, you know, just first and foremost, Lord, we just want to ask, Lord, that you allow us to establish your will, establish your work. And Father, I ask all these things in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.